It's nice to be wanted, but sometimes it can be trying. Father, we just give you this day. We give you my words. Father, we just pray for your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I felt this, the service was pretty much right there. That last song was God's blessing prayed over every one of us. His spirit wants to bless us. His spirit wants to give us his heart, his desires, his life. And I think it was summed up in that last song. We are very, very lucky to be here, but yet unlucky, because on the other side is so much better. But he has given us a journey here while we're on this earth to give him glory, to give him praise, to see his workings, to see his miracles, to see his grace that we can share it with others. I don't know, Jason, if you want to share anything, because God has worked mightily in what you've gone through. Anything you want to share?
I just want to first off thank everybody for the food that they brought. I know Twyla sent a letter here, but and then the generous gift that you guys gave us to help us out. But through this whole journey, one thing I would like to just encourage everybody is, the storm has been hard.
Yes.
But don't take your eyes off it. Through this whole thing, you don't know what you have that day. Nobody knows what this day is even going to bring. But God is not done with us yet. Through the wreck, God had to stop me and wake me up. I was walking where I needed to, I thought. And if we would have passed away that day, I don't know where it would have been. But he wasn't done with us. And he literally turned my foot 180 degrees. When I got to the accident, my foot was completely 180 degrees. And it blew my whole cup to me. But when it was him doing that, he turned me back 180 degrees to walk with him again. And I was walking with him, I thought. I was in my devotions. I was doing everything I needed to do, I thought. But it was just not enough. It was in the flesh. It wasn't in the spirit. I was doing enough to get by. Don't do enough just to get by. Make sure you're doing enough that what God wants you to do. Because we're not promised tomorrow. It was so bad, and I'm just going to share this kind of in a nutshell, that my wife, and I wear this shoe, brought me this shoe, and I've shared this with people. And I argued with my wife that this was not my shoe at the hospital. And no, it wasn't the meds because I was on some pretty heavy meds, but I argued with her that this is not my shoe. And she goes, why is that not your shoe? I said, because my shoe never said Skechers on it, and it never had an S on it. That's how much of the attention of detail I missed the Lord showed me. I was so busy and so fast, I'd walk out the door 90 miles an hour, and I would miss attention to detail. Don't miss the attention to detail that God has in front of you. It's so easy to miss it. I missed it in my pair of shoes, and God used this to wake me back up and say, wait a minute, you need to slow down. And he went from, they said it was like two trucks at 45 mile an hour, it's like 90 mile an hour, complete stop. And that's what God did. Mm-hmm. And it has been rough. But God has been through it. I mean, I've had bad days. You can ask my wife, she's ready to leave me now. just sit there. Mm-hmm. But you got so much time with the Lord. Don't waste the time with the Lord that you have. Don't take it for granted, because you might not be able to bend over and pick something up, or you might not be able to do something. But God is with you through the whole thing. And I looked, and I think of Peter, how he took his eyes off of Jesus when he's walking on the water. But Jesus was still there and had his hand out. Then there's a whole lot more to the testimony that I have, but I'm going to stop at that. I want to thank everybody for the prayers. Continue to pray. I'm not out of the woods yet. This was limb salvage. They still say that it's a possibility that it may not work. But now I can at least put pressure on my toes. I can't put any on the heel yet because it's not completely healed shut. But we're still praying and believing in that miracle, that supernatural miracle, that we don't have to go through plastics. Because plastics is a 10 to 12 hour surgery. I'll be in the hospital for 7 to 10 days and then possibly three weeks at Brandelia just for rehab. And they're not even guaranteeing it's going to work.
And the granulation bed is still filling in?
What's that?
The granulation bed is still filling in?
It's almost completely.
Yes.
So
amen.
She took the wound back off. They had a wound back on it because it kind of just came to a stop. They're stuffing it down a little hole that the plastics actually made to check depth. And we're now on what they call B&W ointment and burdock leaves. It's actually pulling the stuff out, and it's almost completely shut in a week.
Amen. Amen. Because he was at a point when it was like, you're going to have to surgery, and if it didn't make this change within 24 hours, it was surgery, and God had made the change.
I sat at the corner of my island in our house, and I said, God, if you do not want me to go through plastics, would you please just grow this? And in a week's time, it was completely grown shut, other than a tunnel that was under, and they poked in there and found that. But other than that, so he almost completely had that thing completely healed shut. There was evidence that he was healing it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Such a testimony on how God works, how God heals. How God not only heals the physical, but he heals the spiritual. That he not only works in the physical here on earth, but in the spiritual in heaven. His goal is so much more than this physical world. His goal is our spiritual health, our spiritual walk with him. Our comfort on earth is only a minor detail. He is much more concerned in us entering his kingdom. And our comfort on earth may be gone just so that we can enter his kingdom. This is one of those weeks when I have an idea, but nothing ever comes up. Nothing ever comes to fruition that I can't grab and hold. So it may be a short sermon today, but I don't think I need much of a sermon with what's already transpired. Jason's testimony and the blessing, I think, sums a lot of it up. My ideas were, because of the way the world is, Matthew 24, this is just a preliminary. Christ is going over sort of what the end times are going to be like. And one of the statements he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The love will grow cold. Our love will grow cold. How can our love grow cold? Our love for one another. All through Scripture, from the very beginning, God has asked us to care for those around us, to be a light, to be a blessing for those in need. In Leviticus, he says, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner, and he shall live with you. Deuteronomy, there will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needing in your land. Proverbs, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not know such knowledge. Even in Matthew, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Give, give, give blessings. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and who waters will himself will be watered. The generous themselves will be blessed for the share of their food with the poor. And of course, in Matthew, we know he said, Lord, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger or in need of things, clothes or in prison? And we did not help. He replied, truly, if you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. He said, what should we do then? The crowd asked John and Luke. Anyone who has two shirts should share one, who has none. Anyone who has food should do the same. Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead for the women's cause. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So Christ throughout, and God throughout all of Scripture, there are verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that says to bless those around you, whether they're of this body, in other words, of Christ, or not of Christ, you still bless them. But how hard is that to do? I mean, in nature, my natural being is a helpful being. I think one of the gifts God gave me is the gift of help, and that's why I'm in this in the field that I'm in of veterinary medicine. Because it's a constant help, it's a constant taking care of, nurturing animals' health, nurturing clients, helping. But it does get hard, even when you have a spirit of that. It's so easy for your love to grow cold. Because you go, is this doing anything? Is this helping or am I hindering? Am I enabling or am I providing God's direction? And it's always such a tough decision to make. In Galatians it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good. It's interesting, I looked above that in Galatians. Starting from Galatians 6:1, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you will also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something that they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one of you should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should care all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will to reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is put at the end of a section that Paul's actually pretty hard on. If you're in sin, get out of it. Do not live by the flesh, but live by the Spirit. Work with your own hands. Do what you can. I mean, it's pretty hard. Test the spirits. And then sow accordingly. Sow to the flesh, you're going to reap flesh. Sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap Spirit. So when we help somebody, we're trying to get them to know Christ. What are we sowing? I think that's what becomes the question. Are we sowing to their spirit? Or are we sowing to their flesh as we're trying to help people? And I think that is by the fruit of what you see in the help. If you give, and give, but yet they do not change, is that helping them? No, it's not. You give money to help the poor, but yet they remain poor because they're not getting the help they need to get out of poverty. They're just getting a handout. If they stop giving the handout and do not want the help to get out of poverty, it's them. Their flesh is to the point where they're saying, I don't want help, I want a handout. And in other parts of scriptures, when it's said in spiritual things, it's like, let him to Satan and let him have his way, and in the end, pray that he comes back. And it's one thing that I'm trying to determine as I help and help and help? What am I sowing to? What are we bringing about, a blessing or a curse on those that we help? Like I said, it's a pretty short sermon today, and I think it's pretty direct. Because as we become a bigger and bigger community, and our desire is to go out there and to perform the works of Christ, we got to be sure what we are sowing, the seeds that we are sowing. Are we sowing to the flesh or are we sowing to the Spirit? It's going to get harder and harder as the days go on, and the glove of many will grow cold. We see it all so much right now. Getting into the judgmental spirits, getting into the bickering and stuff, we can see the coldness of people's hearts because they're tired of dealing with the world. And the only way that we can conquer that is as we sow these seeds, we are getting filled with seeds of Christ. Because I've seen pictures where you have people giving themselves over to other people and they see pieces missing out of them until that person is pretty much evaporated. That they've been used and they've been used. And you are so down and out because of what everybody has drugged from you that you have nothing left to give. You have nothing inside of you. You feel empty and lost. Two things. One, you're not getting filled up by the Spirit. Because what you give out, you have to receive. And what you want to receive is you want to receive Spirit and not flesh. You want to receive Christ so that you can give Christ out, not some fleshly thing that you give flesh out. Or that person, that what's being sown is reaping flesh, flesh, flesh in that person, and it's bringing about their destruction, and you need to stop that giving. And it's a hard thing to do. It's very hard. Father, we just pray that you give us wisdom and insight, Father, for our desire is to sow seeds of the Spirit, sow seeds that produce you in others, not produce ourselves in others, not produce this world in others, but produces you and you alone. Father, rip out our fleshly desires, rip out our fleshly seeds, and let us do only those which are of the Spirit. And Father, we just give you the glory and the honor and the praise in this. In Jesus' name, amen. I know you guys wanted a short sermon today so you can see the race, right, too? So, so this week, go out. And in your giving and how you walk, just walk and sow the seeds of the Spirit in your life and in lives of others. And I guess I should end too that as you're going out, you know people are sowing into your lives as well too. And I guess I should have went into the flip side of that, in which as a person, people sowing things into our lives too should create a spirit of gratitude in us and praise to the God in heaven and God above and gratitude for what God is doing in that person to give us life in our life and not having an expectant spirit saying, I deserve it, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Because it is by grace we are saved. It's by grace we get these things. And we should be grateful for what we have and what God is doing. So go out this week and just show his love and his blessings. Amen.